craving for food had morphed into a craving for something else. After 5 minutes of tossing and turning, I gave in and pushed the covers to the side. The throb between my legs had intensified into a painful ache, and when I slipped a hand into my underwear, it was instantly soaked with my arousal. I closed my eyes, lost to the pleasure and the montage of scenes unfolding in my head. Asher opening the door and finding me like this, legs spread and fingers rubbing shamelessly over my clit. Him climbing on top of me, his face half-shadowed by the relentless storm. The weight of him pinning me down, the delicious stretch when he first enters me, the steel grip on my hips as he fucks me with long, hard strokes. Oh, God. My breath shallowed into pants. I rubbed faster, my skin slicked with sweat, but it wasn't enough. My other hand reached up to play with my nipple, and I kept my thumb on my clit while I pushed two fingers inside me. A loud moan escaped. Fuck, that felt good. It had been so long since I got myself off manually, and the fact that I was doing it here in my should-be enemy's house only made it hotter. The slippery sounds of my fingers pumping in and out intermingled with the booms of thunder. My pants came faster. I was so close. I could practically taste him on my tongue, a cocktail of sweetness and earthiness that made my head spin. I imagined it was his hand squeezing my breast, his fingers filling me up so well. The thunder was the slam of the headboard against the wall, and the blasts of cool air were his breaths on my skin. It was wrong to imagine those things, but fantasies ran wild beneath the cover of night, and once they broke free, there was no holding them back. My orgasm hit with blinding ferocity. White lights burst behind my eyes, and I was falling into an abyss where there was only a warmth and pleasure and an unbearable sensation of lightness. I lay there, sweaty and breathless, until the world eventually returned in bits and pieces. I'd taken the edge off. But as I finally drifted off to sleep, a pang of unfulfilled need remained, filling my dreams with images of dark hair and green eyes. Chapter 14. Scarlet. I snuck out of the house the next morning like a coward. When I woke up, the storm had passed and Asher was, presumably, still asleep, so I changed, placed his shirt in the laundry and texted him a thank you before I hauled ass out of there. I couldn't face him knowing I'd gotten off to fantasies about him mere hours ago. With my luck, he probably possessed some superpower that allowed him to pick up on any orgasms he'd had a hand in, literally and figuratively. I couldn't risk it. I needed time to gather myself and figure out what I was going to do about our situation because it was unsustainable. It took me almost an hour to get home. After another shower and change of clothes, I texted Karina to meet me at our local cafe. "Thanks for coming on such short notice," I said. "I had to get out of the house. It's one of those days." "Not a problem. I'll never turn down tea and pastries." Karina broke off a piece of her scone. "Plus, I needed an excuse to get out of the house too. My parents are visiting." My eyebrows skyrocketed. "They're in town? They were just here for Easter." "Yep, it was a surprise visit. I love them, but, well, you know." I did indeed know. Karina's parents lived in Liverpool, where her father owned a thriving fur shop and her mother taught chemistry at the local university. They were super sweet, but she was their only daughter, and they had strong opinions about her job, clothes, boyfriends, friendships, hobbies, and basically every other aspect of her life. It was the reason she moved to London and never looked back. "There's all this family drama because my aunt ran off with her accountant and sold our ancestral house in Vietnam without telling anyone," she said. "My mum is beside herself." "Selling an ancestral home seems like something an accountant would advise against." "I don't think he was very good at his job," Karina shrugged, oblivious to the appreciative glances from a passing group of men. With her gleaming black hair and flawless bone structure, she could easily make a killing as a model, but she hated being photographed. We'd been friends for 3 years, and there were maybe 5 pictures of us total. "Anyway, enough about me," she said. "What's up with you? You look weirdly flushed." I relayed what happened yesterday, minus the masturbation part. Some things were better kept secret. Wait, you slept over at Asher Donovan's house, and I'm just finding out now? Her mouth hung open. And you watched a horror movie, and you attacked him with a frying pan. Scarlett Dubois, who are you? It's like I don't know you anymore. I didn't attack him, I grumbled. It was self-defense. I thought he was an intruder. You thought he was an intruder in his own house? I told you I didn't see his face before my fight or flight kicked in. My reaction seemed even more ridiculous in broad daylight than it had last night. But weren't best friends supposed to have your back no matter what? Whose side are you on anyway? I didn't realize there were sides, Karina said between bouts of laughter. But if there are, I'm on yours, obviously. That being said, what happened was clearly a sign. A sign that I need better judgment? No, a sign that you need to sleep with him. Karina ignored my sputter of protest and ticked off the reasons on her fingers. He accidentally landed on top of you. You accidentally landed on top of him. You were forced to spend the night together because of a freak storm. You went downstairs for a snack at the same time. I know when the universe is playing matchmaker, and it is totally shipping you two right now. She loved the woo-woo universe stuff as much as she hated photos. It was charming when it wasn't directed at me. Thank God I hadn't told her about what I did when I returned to my room. I can't sleep with him, I hissed. I cast a furtive glance around in case anyone was eavesdropping. How would that look? And like a rocking good time. Did you see that story a few years ago about the soap star who hooked up with him? She said he does this incredible thing with his tongue. Karina! I'm just saying, there's documented proof that the man is a god in bed. Which is another reason why I'll never sleep with him. Even if I weren't training him and he wasn't Vincent's nemesis, I could never hook up with another footballer. They're fuckboys. And the few that aren't are already taken. My ex hadn't cheated on me, but it had taken him less than a month to move on after our long-term relationship. Among other things. Karina's brows dipped. She examined me over the rim of her mug for a moment before she set it down with a soft sigh. You can't let one bad ex ruin your opinion of the opposite sex forever, she said gently. Don't let him have that power over you. It's not the opposite sex, it's the profession. She pinned me with her signature, "Don't you bullshit me" look. I countered with my, "We have talked about this, so don't you push me" stare. I used to roll my eyes at the cliché characters who could never love again because some asshole broke their heart. Everyone suffered heartbreak at least once in their life, right? Get over it and move on. It wasn't until I experienced it myself that I understood how they felt. Once you've been betrayed by someone you trusted completely, it was hard to let your guard down again. I saw potential heartbreak everywhere now, and I'd rather nip it in the bud than regret it later. My feelings toward Asher were complicated. Complicated was never good. Nevertheless, something he said last night nagged at me. Can I ask you something? I asked after my stare down with Karina dissolved into a silent truce. Always. Do you think I should try for the staff showcase this year? Her expression shifted into one of neutrality. It depends, she said after a telling beat. Is that something you're interested in? I picked at my toast. Maybe. Have you talked to your doctor about dancing again? No. I shredded my poor toast into further pieces. Do you think I should? Karina had supported my decision to abstain all these years, but she'd never offered her personal opinion on the matter. She raised her mug to her lips again. I think the fact you're even considering it is your answer. Karina and Asher's words played in my mind the rest of the weekend. On Sunday night, I booked a virtual appointment with my doctor. On Monday morning, I met with Lavinia during her office hours and broached the possibility of joining the staff showcase before I lost my nerve. As it turned out, I needn't have bothered. Auditions closed last week. A sharp intake of breath betrayed my surprise. I didn't have my doctor's sign-off yet. There was also a chance my newfound motivation would fizzle, and I'd regret my decision by the time the showcase rolled out. But if that were the case, why did I feel so disappointed? Lavinia studied me, her eyes sharp and knowing behind her glasses. Is there a reason why you're so interested in this showcase? You've declined to participate every other year. I like Lorena's choreography? It came out more like a question than an answer. The subtle arch of Lavinia's brow displayed her skepticism. I couldn't get anything past her, so despite the rock lodged in my gut, I explained my reasoning and focused on my desire to take the stage again, if only for a night. Hopefully, she didn't pick up on my skyrocketing anxiety when I talked about the performance. I should have thought this through before talking to Lavinia, but I was in too deep to back out now. This is what spontaneity gets me, a speech begging for something I'm not sure I even want. Except the more I spoke, the more I started to believe what I was saying. I wanted to prove I could do it. I wanted to feel the exhilaration of dancing again. I wanted one last show on my terms, not the universe's. That was one of the hardest things I had to accept. That my career had ended due to something as unpredictable as a car accident. If I'd known, I would have better appreciated my last moments on stage. I would have had more closure. I see. Lavinia leaned back and steepled her fingers. Her lips thinned into a slash of red against porcelain skin. At 60, she possessed a better complexion than most women my age. You've worked here for 4 years, Scarlet. You know I believe rules exist for a reason, and that willful disregard for said rules leads to disorder. I despise disorder. The rock in my gut expanded, dragging my heart and hopes to the ground. I understand. I should have checked the audition deadline before I wasted her time. I'd been so afraid I would lose my nerve if I waited that I'd barged in and made a fool of myself instead. I resisted the urge to slide down in my seat and hide. That being said, I am aware yours is a special circumstance, Lavinia said. You've been a valuable member of the RAB family for a while now. If we can't provide a measure of flexibility for one of our own, then how can I expect loyalty in return? A tiny sprig of hope sprouted past my misgivings. I can't promise you'll be on stage. We've assigned all the roles already, she said. The sprig wilted. However, the spring perked up again. We still need an understudy for Yvette, who's playing Lorena. If you're interested, the position is yours. It's not what you asked for, but it's all I can offer. Pending final approval from your doctor, of course. Of course. Fingers crossed Dr. Stein has good news for me. I would love to be the understudy. Thank you, I really appreciate it. Don't thank me yet, Lavinia said dryly. Let's see if you feel the same way in a few months. Being an understudy was one of the most difficult jobs in ballet. They had to learn the choreography, the musicality, and every spot of the performance without stepping on the principal's toes, figuratively speaking, and they were expected to do all that without the promise of a turn in the spotlight. Since the showcase was only one night, my chances of performing were low, but it felt good to do something again. A pinprick of excitement buzzed through me. I hadn't shaken off my hang-ups about re-entering the world of ballet, but it'd be nice to fall back into a headspace where anything was possible and nothing could stop me. That wasn't true anymore, but a girl could dream. Sometimes dreams were all we had. The rest of the afternoon flew by. My students must have picked up on my energy because several cast curious glances my way. Emma was one of the few brave enough to ask me about it outright.
Did you have a good weekend, Miss Dubois?
Her eyes sparkled.
You look happy.
Instructors shouldn't discuss their personal lives with students. It's inappropriate, I said sternly. Her face fell. But since you asked, my mouth twitched. I got some good news this morning. Her smile returned to full wattage. We had a quick chat about her Nutcracker rehearsals before I packed up and met Earl in front of the school. My stomach fluttered during our drive to Asher's house. He'd responded to my thank you text with a simple, "You're welcome," Other than that, we hadn't talked since I snuck out Saturday morning. Enough time had passed for me to pretend my, self-care session never happened. That was the only way I could look him in the eyes. I was also oddly excited to tell him about the understudy role. He was the one who'd encouraged me to leave my comfort zone. He deserved to be the first to know. Earl pulled into the circular driveway and opened my door.
Have a good session, Miss Dubois.
Thank you, Earl. I walked up the front steps and tried the doorknob. It was unlocked, but Asher was nowhere in sight. Weird. He usually greeted me at the entrance so we could walk to the studio together. Maybe he was running late from an interview or other prior commitment. I let myself into the house and tread the familiar path to the studio. I'd been here so many times I no longer looked twice at the original Rembrandts or the state-of-the-art gadgets. I passed the living room, stopped, then doubled back. Was that? It was. My good mood evaporated like a puddle in the sun. A strange ringing filled my ears. Now I knew why Asher hadn't been there to greet me. He had a guest over. A very blonde, very leggy guest in an outfit that probably cost more than my monthly rent. And they were kissing.
Chapter 15. Asher. The kiss came out of nowhere. One minute I was trying to get Paulina out of the house as quickly and politely as possible. The next she'd tossed her arms around my neck and crushed her mouth on mine. Jesus! I pushed her off and wiped my mouth with my forearm. What the fuck, Paul?
Mart.
She blinked at me with those baby doe eyes that had turned her into one of the biggest supermodels in the world.
It's just a kiss. We've done so much more than that.
Not since last year. There'd been a time when the kiss would have led us straight into the bedroom, hot tub, or any nearby place with a semblance of privacy. That time had long passed because current me didn't feel a single twinge of pleasure or arousal.
We should remedy that.
Paulina propped her hip against the couch.
I miss you. You never call anymore.
Because we're not together anymore. My patience frayed with each passing second. We went on a few dates last spring. It took one date for the shine to wear off, two dates for me to realize we had nothing in common, and three dates for me to officially call it quits. I didn't hate her. She was nice enough, surprise kisses aside. She just wasn't for me, and we'd ended things amicably. At the time, there'd been a filthy rich oil magnate courting her on the side, so she hadn't exactly been heartbroken. Things with the oil magnate must have gone south, because after a year of radio silence, she'd shown up at my door half an hour ago claiming she wanted to catch up.
But we could be.
Paulina sounded unfazed by the reminder. No, we can't. I snuck a peek at the clock. Shit, I was late for training, so I needed to get Paulina out of here fast. I hadn't talked to Scarlett since her thank you text, and I wanted to see her, I guess. That sounded pathetic even in my thoughts. Good thing no one can hear them. Listen, Paul.
Why not?
She tilted her head.
Are you dating someone?
No, I'm not dating anyone right now. Liar, a voice whispered. I ignored it. As much as I've enjoyed our catch-up, I have training right now, I said. I'm already late, so...
Training, schmaining.
Paulina rolled her eyes.
You're always so concerned about training, but fine, I'll go. Before I do, I have a favor to ask.
What is it? I asked warily.
Vuk Markovich is hosting a fashion gala at the end of the summer. I was hoping you could be my date.
My eyebrows popped up. Vuk Markovich owned the Black Castle Football Club and our home grounds, aptly named Markovich Stadium. The Serbian-American billionaire was a notorious recluse, and the idea of him hosting any sort of gala was absurd to the point of laughable. However, Paulina's sources when it came to single, powerful men were enough to make MI6 weep. If she said Vuk was hosting a gala, he was hosting a gala. A sudden burst of clarity hit me. Let me guess, I said. You want me to come and make him jealous? Paulina had gravitated toward me because I was young, famous, and good-looking. But her real goal was to snag a billionaire. Everyone in our circles knew that. She shrugged, not bothering to deny it.
Yes, but we can have fun before then, though. We were so good together.
I'd love to help, but I can't. Too busy with training. I ushered her out of the living room and toward the door. However, I'm sure you can find someone much better than me. You're too beautiful not to. I added to soften the sting of rejection. It worked. Paulina's pout transformed into a preen.
Of course, you are right. I thought you would be the perfect date since you play for Black Castle. But maybe... I wonder if Javier Castillo is available.
Why did that name sound so familiar? Right. He was also Sloane's client. I was pretty sure he annoyed her more than I did, which was a commendable feat. You should call him and check. I all but shoved Paulina out the door. Good luck. Thankfully, she left without further protest. Once she was gone, Earl stopped buffing his car and raised an eyebrow at me. Don't look at me like that, I said. I didn't know she... You know what? I don't have to explain myself to you. Where's Scarlett? Inside, he resumed his task. We arrived a while ago. I left him and his unwarranted judgment in the driveway and sprinted to the studio. This was the one time I cursed the size of my house. Why did it take so bloody long to get from one end to the other? When I arrived at the studio, Scarlett had already set up our cross-training equipment and was scrolling on her phone. Hey, sorry I'm late, I said breathlessly. A friend dropped by and our conversation ran over.
It's fine.
I frowned at her distant tone. She hadn't been this standoffish since our first few sessions, and the chilliness seemed especially incongruous, given our movie bonding time on Friday night. Granted, she'd left without saying goodbye the next morning, but I'd slept in. I couldn't expect her to wait around for me. Are we good? I asked as she dropped her phone in her bag and walked to the sound system without looking at me once. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
Yes, why wouldn't we be?
She fiddled with the controls.
Let's start with warm-ups. We...
Fuck that. We're not starting anything until you tell me why you're acting so strange. I crossed my arms. Is this about Friday night? Scarlett's back turned rigid. I'd kept my wording vague, but we both knew I wasn't talking about the frying pan incident. 3 days later, the memory of our kitchen encounter was burned into my mind. Scarlett straddling me, the heat in her eyes, the sight of those perfect fucking nipples poking through my shirt. Seeing her wear my clothes was hand down one of the hottest things I'd ever experienced. It made almost getting bashed in the face worth it. I'd needed an ice-cold shower and a date with my right hand after that. Even now, just thinking about it made me uncomfortably warm. Scarlett looked as tense as I felt.
No,
she said.
This is not about Friday night. However, since we're on the subject, you could have mentioned your girlfriend before I... while we were in the theater.
My frown deepened. I don't have a girlfriend.
Fine, your hookup, fling, whatever you want to call it.
What the hell was she talking about? I don't... Earl's judgment. Scarlett waiting in the studio. The only woman she could have possibly seen me with since Friday. The puzzle pieces slotted together with perfect clarity. You're talking about Paulina.
If Paulina is the blonde with legs longer than a giraffe, then yes.
Scarlett finally whirled around to face me.
You were having quite a snog fest in the living room. I didn't want to interrupt you, so I came downstairs and waited for you to finish.
It wasn't a snogfest session, I growled. She kissed me.
Sure.
Irrational anger simmered in my veins. I guess you didn't stay long enough to see me push her off, I said. Paulina and I went on a few dates last year. That's it. She came by because she wanted me to help her make someone else jealous, and she thought seducing me first would make it easier. I nodded at her back. If you don't believe me, I'll give you her number and you can confirm with her. Scarlett faltered.
Oh.
Yes, oh. I kept my eyes trained on hers as I carefully picked my next words. Even if we were making out, I don't understand why you'd be mad.
I'm not mad. I'm annoyed about your tardiness.
That was an annoyance I heard.
Then you're hearing things that don't exist.
Maybe. Maybe not. I took in her stiff posture and the rosy flush darkening her cheeks. A slow smile spread across my face. Wait. Scarlet, darling. Are you jealous?
You wish.
I'd been half joking, but her answer came too quickly, too aggressively to ring true. My smile vanished beneath an unsteady thump of my heart. Maybe I do. The confession drifted between us like confetti in the wind, blowing this way and that, uncertain of where to land. It was the closest either of us had come to acknowledging our attraction, and there was attraction. A quiet, smouldering, mutual one. Of that, I was sure. If she'd stayed in the kitchen a minute longer the other night, I would have kissed her, and she would have let me. Scarlet's throat moved with a small swallow.
You shouldn't.
I drew in a deep breath and exhaled. The invisible confetti fluttered, finally coming to rest on the far side of the room. So tangible yet untouchable. Those rules of yours again, huh?
Yeah.
She said softly.
Those rules of mine.
We didn't discuss Paulina or Friday night again for the rest of our session. They weren't the real issues at hand. No, the real issue lay dormant, as patient and incendiary as a ticking bomb. It was only a matter of time before it exploded.
Chapter 16. Scarlet.
When do rehearsals start? Karina asked. On Tuesday. They're only once a week, so it shouldn't be too bad. Since it was a one-night school showcase and the staff members were seasoned professionals, the rehearsal schedule was less grueling than that of a normal dance company performance. My stomach flip-flopped. It was Saturday, 5 days since Lavinia's appointed me understudy, and my excitement had bled into nerves. Luckily, Lorena's choreography didn't involve a lot of moves that would aggravate my old injuries. My doctor had given me her tentative approval pending a full physical, to make sure nothing had changed since our last checkup, and my promise that I would commit only to one performance. "Don't overexert yourself," she told me yesterday. "Your body can handle performing again up to a certain point, but once you pass that point, you'll be undoing a lot of progress. If you feel any abnormal discomfort at all, call me and your PT immediately." She didn't have to worry about that. I had her and my physical therapist on speed dial. Perfect. So, we'll still have time for shopping and trolling for good-looking men with a stable job, decent personality, and no significant other, Karina joked, drawing my attention back to her. We were having drinks at the Angry Boar, which was packed with happy hour patrons and a handful of lost-looking tourists. I usually steered clear of this pub because it was a magnet for footballers, but it had great weekend drink specials and the number of athletes usually thinned out during the off-season. Good-looking, single, employed, and not a prat? In London? You're asking for way too much, I said. Karina grinned. A girl can dream. Speaking of dreams, she raised her glass. Here's to the best understudy for Lorena in all of RAB. I'm the only understudy for the role at RAB. Exactly. I laughed and clinked my glass against hers. How's the second job search going? I asked. Any luck? No. Her shoulders slumped. Not unless I want to strip or bartend, both of which I'd be terrible at. If some drunken finance bro tries to grab my ass while I'm working, they'll have to haul me off to jail. It's okay. You have time, I said optimistically. You're only 26, and Antarctica will always be there. Well, unless climate change did us all in, but I kept that caveat to myself. I hope so, Karina shook her head. This is so stupid. I can't believe I'm looking for a second job to fund a holiday. It's not stupid, it's a childhood dream. I nudged her leg with my foot. We don't downplay those, remember? Karina's top bucket list item was to visit Antarctica before she got married. It may sound random to anyone who didn't know her, but she'd watched a documentary about penguins when she was a kid and fell in love with them.
10-year-old Karina got it in her head that she had to visit them in Antarctica when she grew up, and it had been a goal for her since. As for the married part, she said a husband would cramp her style. Unfortunately, visiting one of the most remote locations on Earth was expensive. An executive assistant salary barely covered the cost of rent in London, much less a sojourn to the South Pole, hence her desire for a second job. I told her once that penguins existed in less expensive, more accessible countries like South Africa. The glare she gave me almost sent me 6 feet under, so Antarctica it was. I guess not, she sighed. It's okay, I'll figure it out. There are definitely more important things in the world to focus on. How's your dad? He's doing well. Vincent says he's finally warming up to his nurse, which is a good sign. Apparently they bonded over their favourite wine. How very French, Karina said dryly. Did you tell Vincent about Asha? I paused mid-sip before swallowing. A wave of prickles swarmed my skin. He knows we're training together. There's nothing else to tell. Vincent wasn't happy about me and Asha still training together, but that was the boss's decision, not ours. We all had to make the best of it. I narrowed my eyes. What was that? What? She asked, the picture of innocence. That sound. What sound? That hmm you just made. She tapped her nails on the table as a neighboring group of guys went wild over the cricket match on TV. You and Asha have been talking a lot, that's all. We see each other 3 times a week. It would be weird if we didn't talk. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize movie nights were essential to your training regimen. Karina laughed and ducked when I pelted her with a crisp. Admit it, you want to shag him. When I didn't answer, her smile morphed into open-mouth shock. Wait, do you really? No. I reached for my glass again, but it was empty. Scarlett Dubois. Don't you dare lie to me, Karina gasped. Oh my God, did something happen when you stayed at his house during the storm? No, the prickling sensation intensified. But it almost did. I'm not sure. Her face sobered. I know I joke about it, but if you hook up with Asha, Vincent will lose his shit, as in potentially sabotage Black Castle's chances of winning by taking his anger out on Asha during a match, lose his shit. I know. Vincent had always been protective of me, but he'd gotten worse since my accident and breakup with Rafe. On the other hand, you're an adult and Vincent needs to get a life, so we'll have to suck it up. I allowed myself a small laugh. Nothing has actually happened between us. Yet. Funny how one three-letter word contained a world of possibilities. Every time I thought about Asha, I felt like I was trapped on a runaway train, the wind whipping through my lungs as we barreled toward the edge of a cliff. I knew how the story would end, but for a few precious moments, the sheer exhilaration overshadowed our inevitable doom. Scarlet, darling, are you jealous? You wish. Maybe I do. The memory blew through me, spiking my pulse and scattering my concentration. The truth was, I had been jealous. A vicious dose of green poison had burned through me at the sight of him kissing someone else, and I hated it. So, Karina arched a perfectly shaped brow. Back to what you said earlier. Define almost did. What almost did happen? I groaned. I was hoping you'd overlook that. Me? Overlook a potentially juicy carrot of information? I'm not even going to dignify that insult with a response. Okay. I took a deep breath. I might as well spill the beans. She was going to find out eventually. I was convinced Karina had some secret mind-reading capability she didn't tell me about, and I was desperate to talk to someone about what happened. If I tell you, will you promise not to read too much into it? She held up her right hand. Cross my heart, I told her. Wait. You did what in the guest room? She covered her mouth with one hand, but it wasn't enough to hide her grin. Babe, I'm so fucking proud of you right now. It's not something to be proud of, I grumbled, my face hot. It was inappropriate. Most fun things are. Karina's eyes sparkled. Does this mean you're rethinking your anti-footballer stance? No, there's a difference between fantasy and reality. My response came off less resolute than I would have liked. I'd promised myself I'd never fall for another footballer. But I hadn't been this consumed by a guy since Rafe, and it terrified me. Asher wasn't my ex. He was smarter, funnier, more thoughtful. It was awful, because smart, funny, thoughtful men were my weakness, and I didn't have the option of avoiding him until my attraction petered out. I was literally forced to see him multiple times a week. If only Vincent were here. He would have acted as our buffer, and we wouldn't be in this situation. The chimes over the door jingled. A gust of warm air swept over me, and the pub noticeably quieted as every head swiveled toward the entrance, mine included. My entire body tensed. Oh, you have got to be kidding me. Whichever evil fate was responsible for throwing us together this summer struck again as Asher walked in. Even with his wind-tousled hair and worn white t-shirt, he was breathtaking enough to cause several audible sighs. Speak of the devil. A mischievous glint entered Karina's eyes as she raised her arm. Don't you dare, I hissed, but it was too late. Asher! She waved her bangles gleaming beneath the lights. His gaze slid across the room and rested on us. Over here! That traitor. I was putting Karina on my shit list next to my hormones, the UK weather, and the inventor of horror films. I prayed Asher was meeting someone else here, but no, that would be too easy. Instead of declining Karina's invitation or acknowledging my strong stay-away vibes, he pivoted in our direction and slid onto the empty stool across from me with infuriating ease.
2 run-ins in 5 weeks,
he drawled, flashing a smile that left my ex-best friend starry-eyed.
This must be my lucky spot.
He addressed Karina, but his eyes were locked onto mine. I lifted my chin and met them head-on. I hoped he couldn't hear the sudden roar of my pulse. Must be, Karina echoed. Her eyes ping-ponged between us before she stood and cleared her throat. Excuse me, I have to, use the loo. I'll be right back. Oh, I was going to kill her. Forget the penguins. She'd be lucky if she lived long enough to see the inside of her flat tonight. A beat of awkward silence passed. Are you meeting someone here? I asked, hoping a miracle would call him away from this table, in this corner, this close to me.
Nah, I was in the area and decided to drop by.
Asher's smile could have melted the knickers off a nun.
Good thing I did, or I wouldn't have run into you.
Those were absolutely not butterflies winging through my chest. They were something far less appealing, like flying cockroaches or angry wasps. Luckily, I was saved from answering when someone bumped into Asher with his shoulder. Hard. The guy's mouth moved. I couldn't hear what he said, but judging by the way Asher's smile vanished, it wasn't an apology. I wasn't a confrontational person. The prospect of making a scene in public made me want to crawl under the table, but there was something about their interaction. The smug smirk on the guy's face as he turned away, the angry yet resigned set of Asher's jaw, that raised my hackles. Hey! The rebuke slipped out before I knew what I was doing. You bumped into him, and you're just going to walk away? Apologize. Asher's shocked gaze snapped toward me while the guy's eyes narrowed. He looked like he was in his mid to late 40s, with graying hair and a blue shirt that stretched over his paunch.
What you gonna do if I don't, little girl?
Well, I offered a sweet smile. While I can't physically make you apologize because I am such a dainty little girl, I can call your employer and tell them one of their officers has been harassing a civilian. I nodded at the Holchester Police logo on his shirt. I'm sure they won't be too thrilled about that, especially when they find out the civilian is Asher Donovan.
Bumping into someone ain't harassment,
he growled. Maybe not outside this pub, but premeditated physical aggression is strictly prohibited at the Angry Boar. I tipped my head toward the bar where Mac was slinging drinks with his signature scowl. If you don't believe me, we can call Mac over and see if he agrees. The man's mouth thinned. Everyone knew Mac had a sub-zero tolerance for any type of provocation in his establishment. He'd once banned someone for intentionally stepping on another's foot without apologizing. Or, I said,
You can apologize and we'll forget this happened. Your choice.
A long, tense beat passed before he spoke again.
I'm sorry,
he gritted out.
For what?
If looks could kill, my lifeless body would be floating in the Thames. Luckily, they didn't, and he had no choice but to amend his apology.
I'm sorry for bumping into you. It happens.
Asher drawled.
Not everyone is born with grace, coordination, or manners. You!
The man cut off with a small growl when I flicked my eyes toward the bar again. He stormed off without another word, leaving the stench of cheap aftershave and indignation in his wake. Asher turned his full attention toward me. His mask of amusement faded, softening the furrow between his brows and the hard set of his mouth.
You didn't have to do that.
Maybe not, but he deserved it. My heart raced in the aftermath of the confrontation. But it wasn't from nerves. It was from exhilaration. I felt like I could take on the world and win. He was a wanker.
There's plenty of wankers in the world, unfortunately. I've learned to pick my battles. Besides,
Asher flashed a crooked smile.
I have to watch myself here. Max still upset with me for spilling beer on his beloved jukebox earlier this year.
I wasn't fooled by his devil-may-care attitude. What did that guy say to you?
Nothing I haven't heard before.
Asher? His smile devolved into a sigh.
The usual BS about me being a traitor and getting what I deserved in that final match against Holchester. It's boring at this point. Though I have to commend his commitment to his hatred while he's on holiday.
My brows pulled together. Asher got a lot of hate from Holchester fans when he transferred to Black Castle, but it had been months. I couldn't believe people were still hung up on it when transfers happen all the time. Then again, football fans were nothing if not passionate, to put it mildly, and the rivalry between Holchester and Black Castle was particularly bitter. Well, I hope his beer is always warm, his food is always cold, and he stubs his toe every time he gets out of bed for the rest of his trip, I said. Imagine being so hateful on holiday. That's bad karma. Asher's laugh coated my arms and chest with warmth.
The ballerina has claws. I didn't expect that from you,
he teased. I shrugged. I don't like it when people act like wankers.
Either way, thank you again. I was going to ignore him. I can't give every asshole the attention they seek. But a little bump was worth seeing that side of you.
Don't get used to it. I can't always be around to protect you, I said. But I couldn't resist a small smile in return. His eyes crinkled deeper at the corners.
Noted.
A long, languorous beat passed between us. Every time I thought I knew where I stood when it came to him, something happened that threw me off kilter. There was no steady ground with Asher Donovan. It was a constant sea of change, frustrating, terrifying, and as much as I hated to admit it, exhilarating. All the banked heat we shouldn't acknowledge thrummed across the tiny high-top table. Sorry that took so long, Karina's breathless apology doused the moment in ice water. Sorry, my arse. She'd left us alone on purpose, and her grin indicated as much. The queue took forever. She slid onto her stool and regarded us with naked interest. What did I miss? Not much, I said when Asher remained quiet. His run-in with the man wasn't my story to tell. We were just chatting about football. Oh, okay. Karina seemed oblivious to the tension smouldering around us. Before I forget, I want to tell you I can't make it Tuesday. I got a call from my parents while I was in the queue. They made us dinner reservations at Babco that night, so I won't be able to watch your first rehearsal. I'm so sorry. Genuine remorse crossed her face. I really wanted to be there for the first one. It's okay, I reassured her. You won't be missing much. Asher's brow wrinkled.
What rehearsal?
Karina flicked a quick glance at me. Shit, I hadn't told him about the showcase yet. It wasn't a secret, and he wasn't entitled to know, but a stab of guilt pierced my chest anyway. I changed my mind about not participating in the RIB showcase, I admitted. I spoke with Lavinia, and I'm now the understudy for the lead role in Lorena.
The lead role?
His eyes sparked with admiration, and an answering warmth drifted through my veins.
That's brilliant.
It's not a big deal. Like I said, I'm the understudy. I tucked a strand of hair behind my ear, feeling oddly self-conscious.
Chances are I won't get to perform. I'm just there in case the lead gets sick or injured.
It's still exciting. When did you find out?
The guilt deepened. Monday? Asher's expression didn't change, but the barest hint of a pause indicated his confusion. I was going to tell you earlier, I added. But I forgot. I'd wanted to tell him during Monday's training, but after seeing him with Polina and our subsequent moment in the studio, sharing such an important milestone with him first seemed too dangerous, too intimate, so I hadn't. Nevertheless, a pinprick of guilt pierced my skin at the hurt in his eyes. Not only had I not told him, but I probably wouldn't have brought it up at all had Karina not mentioned rehearsals.
That's okay.
Asher smiled, the flash of hurt smoothing into one of indifference. The boulder sank deeper to my toes.
I'm just glad you're participating.
He checked his watch.
I have to run. I have an online interview in an hour.
He stood and slid a £50 note onto the table.
Next round's on me, as a thank you for letting me crash your girls' night.
That's way too much for drinks here, Karina protested.
3 rounds, then.
Asher said easily. He glanced at me. I remained quiet, trying to reason away my niggle of disappointment at his departure. I hadn't wanted him to join us, so why was I upset about him leaving? He hesitated, then added,
My friend's throwing a party in Neon's VIP lounge later tonight. If you guys are free, you should drop by.
We're not big clubbers, I said before Karina committed us to something neither of us wanted. The last time we clubbed, I'd spent half the night holding her hair back while she puked up 4 shots worth of tequila. Afterward, it took us 15 minutes to reach the exit because it had been so packed. Would I like to repeat that experience? No, thank you. Sadly, it's true, Karina sighed. I wish we were fun club people. The tiniest hint of amusement tugged on Asher's lips.
I'll add your names to the list anyway in case you change your minds.
His gaze slid back to me with a brief, inscrutable flicker before he left. The crowd parted without him uttering a word and closed just as easily once he was gone. Yeah, screw what Vincent thinks, Karina said after Asher was out of earshot. He's so into you, and he checks all your criteria. Good-looking, single, employed, and not a prat. Hello, perfect match. Those are your criteria, not mine. And let's not forget his Playboy reputation. Oh, so you wouldn't mind if I went after him? Karina smirked at whatever she saw on my face. Exactly. Your death glare just gave you away. I did not give you a death glare, and he's not into me. Not really, I said. Maybe he thinks he is because I'm the only woman he's seen on a regular basis this summer. I wasn't trying to be self-deprecating. It was the truth. He was a famous footballer. What were the chances he was actually truly interested in me? Karina shook her head but didn't press the issue. Jokes aside, are you really going to skip the party tonight? I know we're not club people, but it's an Asher Donovan invite. Can you imagine the VIPs will be there? She let out a dreamy sigh. Oh, sadly, my parents are staying with me, so I can't go even if I wanted to. I don't want to deal with their lectures about drugs and debauchery. Whenever her parents visited, they stayed with her for at least 2 weeks. I couldn't imagine staying with my mother for that long as an adult. We'd kill each other by day 3, but it was a cultural thing. Asian daughters simply did not banish their elders to a hotel when they had a perfectly serviceable flat. If you change your mind and you do go, you have to tell me every detail after, Karina said. I'm living vicariously through you at this point. I shook my head. Sorry, but tonight's a book and bed type of night, I said. Trust me, there's no way I'm going to that party. Chapter 17. Scarlet. In my defense, I hadn't planned on changing my mind. After Karina and I left the Angry Boar, we parted ways. Her to meet her parents for a West End show, me to my flat, and my comforting Saturday night routine of tea, reading, and pajamas. However, I couldn't focus on Isabella Valencia's latest thriller for the life of me. I usually loved her books, but I found myself zoning out every other paragraph. Instead of following the sociopathic detective's adventures in hunting down another sociopath,
My concentration kept scattering into images of a trendy nightclub and green eyes. After I reread the same line 4 times without comprehending a single word, I gave up and closed the book with a frustrated sigh. I was a single 26-year-old living in London, and this was how I spent my weekends, alone with fictional sociopaths. It had never bothered me before, so why did I feel so restless now? After all, there was nothing wrong with staying in. A book and tea were far superior to battling drunken strangers for breathing room in a sweaty nightclub. Right? It's not about the club, it's about who's there. I groaned and sank deeper into my armchair, covering my face with my book as I did so. I was too ashamed to look at my reflection in the dark telly screen. The smart thing to do would be to stay home and unravel the mystery of the Mountain Town murders. The stupid thing to do would be to brave a taxi ride and London nightlife simply because Asher invited me to a party hosted by someone I didn't even know. Silence pressed in from all sides. The clock ticked, counting down the minutes to 11, and my mind continued conjuring flashes of neon lights and sweaty bodies. Scarlett Dubois, you are an idiot, I said. My self-condemnation lingered before dissolving into air. Then I got up, walked to my room, and riffled through my closet for an appropriate outfit to wear to the city's most exclusive nightclub. What am I doing here? I stared at the scene before me, my heels cutting into my feet, my skin sticky with summer heat and regrets. I'd forgotten how chaotic London clubs were. Neon's deceptively simple exterior, fronted by a brick wall and a black metal door, didn't deter everyone under the age of 30 from wanting that magic entry stamp on their hand. I was tempted to take the next taxi home and crawl back into bed, but I'd spent an hour getting ready and shelled out an exorbitant sum for taxi fare. I didn't want that to go to waste. Asher said he'd put me and Karina's names on the list, but did he mean the list for the club or the list for the party inside the club, or both? I eyed the queue, snaking down the pavement and around the corner. The thought of waiting an hour or more in heels made me want to die. But how humiliating would it be if I walked up to the bouncer and my name wasn't on the list? I'd get banished to the back of the queue while dozens of strangers judged me during my walk of shame. If Karina were here, she'd charge up to the door and check for us. Since she wasn't, I was forced to text Asher for clarification. I should have done so on my way here, but I hadn't been thinking. Me. Hi. I changed my mind about the party after all. Can you confirm whether I'm on the list for the club or the party inside? Thank you. I winced at the overly peppy tone, so many exclamation marks. But I hit send anyway. The sooner he responded, the sooner I could move from my awkward spot by the curb. I felt like everyone at the front of the queue was staring at me. What is that loser doing standing there by herself? So I scrolled through my phone in an attempt to look busy. My regrets compounded by the second. I really should have stayed home. This was what I got for trying to pretend I had a normal social life instead of one wonderful but currently busy best friend and an over-reliance on fictional worlds. 5 minutes later, my inbox remained empty. Perhaps I should join the queue while—
You bitch!
My head snapped up and to the left. A guy was doubled over, his face red and his hands clutching his groin, while a petite blonde stared down at him with satisfaction. They were in the alley around the corner from the club, so security couldn't see them. Next time, don't grab a woman's ass without their consent, she said. Be glad I need you instead of kicking you with my heel. That would have hurt. I would have smiled at her gumption. The guy was at least double her size, had it not been for the second interloper sneaking up behind her. The areas around nightclubs were always hotspots for pickpocketing and petty crime. Distracted crowds, heavy alcohol, and lowered inhibitions meant big paydays for those looking to score some extra cash, like the skinny teenager reaching for the blonde's clutch. Hey! I shouted. Look out behind you! The blonde had the fastest reflexes I'd ever seen because the words had barely left my mouth before she whirled and smacked the wannabe thief right in the face with her bag. He cursed and scampered off, obviously not looking for a real fight, but the man she'd need had recovered enough to lurch toward her. My instincts kicked into action before reason did. I ran over, even though these heels were not made for running, and pushed him before he made contact. The distraction gave the blonde enough time to turn and realize what was happening. She raised her bag again. Like the thief, the guy was too much of a coward to confront her face to face, especially now that she had backup. He ran off, leaving a trail of shouted insults in his wake. Ugh, the blonde blew out a sigh and stared at his retreating back. I wish I'd gotten one good hit in first. How disappointing. A surprised laugh bubbled up my throat. For someone who'd gotten harassed and almost mugged, she appeared remarkably unfazed. She faced me, her frown melting into a grateful smile. Thanks for your help. You totally didn't have to do that. She stuck out her hand. I shook it, bemused by her formality. I'm Brooklyn. Her accent sounded American, but there was just enough of a British lilt to throw me off. Scarlet, and you're welcome. Both those wankers had it coming. Between the angry boar and this, I was on a roll. I hardly recognized myself, but I didn't hate the person I was today. Minus my questionable decision to come out in the first place. They did, didn't they? The blonde's grin widened. She was lean and athletic-looking, with hair the colour of a lion's mane and the healthy tan of someone who spent most of their days outdoors. A faint constellation of freckles dotted her nose and cheeks. Are you here by yourself? I'm meeting a friend inside, I said. Great, me too. Brooklyn hooked her arm through mine. Come on. Before I could protest, she pulled me around the corner and straight to the entrance. Hey, Timmy, how's it going? Timmy? This giant's name was Timmy. His scowl broke out into a toothy smile.
Hey, Brookie, good to see you. How's your dad doing?
Great, if you overlook his stress and unwillingness to take his vitamins. The boom of Timmy's laughter sounded like boulders rolling down the side of a mountain.
Ha, sounds like him.
He unhooked the velvet rope and waved us through without checking our IDs.
Have fun.
We swanned past, eliciting a chorus of grumbles from the queue. Timmy silenced them with another scowl.
Next!
He barked.
Where's your ID?
The door closed behind us, enveloping us in neon-splashed darkness and thumping music. Brookie, huh? I shouted over the noise. She laughed. Family friend, she yelled back. Speaking of friend, you want me to help you find yours? It's okay. You go have fun. I gestured toward the dance floor. I don't want to keep you, and you've helped enough. You sure? I nodded. Give me your phone anyway. Brooklyn took my cell and entered her number. Here, I texted myself. So I have your number too. You need anything, give me a shout. It was nice meeting you, Scarlet. You too. Normally, I would never exchange numbers with a virtual stranger, but Brooklyn gave me good vibes. Plus, I needed more friends. I hadn't realized how small my social circle really was until tonight, when I couldn't think of anyone else to invite out besides Karina. I stared at the undulating crowd, took a deep breath, and plunged in. Luckily, it didn't take me long to find the VIP lounge. It was located on the top floor, and the relative quiet here compared to the chaos of the main rooms was almost jarring. A security guard and a woman in a dazzling silver sequined dress stood at the base of the stairs leading into the lounge. She carried a clipboard and walkie-talkie and arched her eyebrows at my approach. Hi, I'm here for the private party. Asher still hadn't responded to my text, but he had to be here, right? The hostess flicked her eyes over my outfit. I was wearing my nicest black dress and heels accessorized with a designer clutch Vincent bought for my 24th birthday. It wasn't cutting-edge fashion, but judging by her grimace, you'd think I'd shown up in a potato sack and Crocs. And who are you? Her tone indicated she already knew the answer. No one. I stiffened, my self-consciousness ceding ground to indignation. Scarlet Dubois. I tried my best to project confidence. I'm on the list.
I'm sorry. I don't see your name.
She couldn't have sounded less sorry if she'd tried. You didn't check.
I don't need to. This is a VIP party.
She tapped her nails against her clipboard.
I'm afraid your 100 quid dress and 2-year-old bag don't meet our criteria. Now, if you'll excuse me.
She turned to greet a trio of newcomers. The swan-like models brushed past me, all legs and $1,000 minis. They provided their names, the hostess checked them off with a smile, and they disappeared up the stairs in a flurry of giggles and clacking heels. None of them spared me a glance. The hostess's smile disappeared when she faced me again.
Miss, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Otherwise, Roscoe will escort you out.
The security guard next to her glared down at me. My teeth clenched, but I had no choice other than to turn and exit with as much dignity as I could scrape together. I'd made enough scenes for today. Besides, what was I going to do? Snatch the clipboard from her and search the list myself? Roscoe would tackle me before I got past the A's. Exhaustion burned behind my eyes. I turned the corner and jabbed the button for the lift. I couldn't wait to go home. This entire night was a... The doors opened with a ping and a whiff of familiar aftershave.
Scarlet!
There was a treacherous quickening in my chest.
You made it!
The shadows fell away, revealing the slant of Ash's cheekbones and chiseled jawline. His gaze trailed the length of my dress and legs.
You look...
A small pause allowed the muffled beats from the lounge to creep between us. Thud, thud, thud.
Good.
A brief sizzle of electricity sang through my arms and legs. Thank you. I forced a smile, my encounter with the hostess too fresh to forget despite the relief of running into Asher. But apparently not good enough.
What do you mean?
I told him what happened. Asher's eyes darkened with each word until they resembled storm clouds on the horizon.
Come with me.
He didn't wait for a response. He placed a hand on the small of my back and guided me firmly toward the lounge's entrance, where the hostess was chatting with security. The guard tipped his chin toward us. She turned, her face lighting up at the sight of Asher.
Mr. Donovan, she straightened and smoothed a hand over her hair. How lovely.
Her voice trailed off when she noticed me walking with him. I wasn't a petty person, most of the time, but I would be lying if I said her shock didn't give me immense satisfaction.
Asher Donovan and Scarlet Dubois,
he said smoothly, his hand still on my back.
My date.
A second ticked past. The hostess looked like she'd just swallowed a bucket of live maggots, but she eventually forced a smile and stepped aside.
Of course. She unhooked the rope, her shoulders stiff. Please enjoy the party.
Thank you. Oh, one more thing.
Asher paused and looked her straight in the eye.
Disrespect her again and I'll make sure this is the last event you'll ever work in London.
The hostess's face flushed crimson. Surprise flashed through me, quick as lightning, followed by an irrepressible warmth as we entered the lounge and left her sputters behind.
I'm sorry about that,
he said.
The door people can go on a power trip sometimes.
It's okay. I slid a sideways glance at him. Your date, huh?
It sounded better than friend in the moment. Besides, it was worth it to see the look on her face.